Welcome to the Vanguard Advisors Alpha podcast, where we provide investment professionals with tips, tools, and information to help you show your unique value to clients with actionable insights into markets, the economy, and investing. I'm Ollie Ludwig, and today is the second episode of a five-part series on behavioral coaching. The series features my colleague Janet Burt and Michael DeJoseph, a Vanguard expert on behavioral coaching. In the first episode, Janet and Mike spoke about coaching clients in a broad sense. And in today's episode, they're going to explore specific frameworks that are designed to help advisors approach coaching clients in a systematic and scalable way. Lucky for me, Janet's right here with me. Janet, can you elaborate on what you and Mike are going to get into in this second episode?
I'd be happy to. Thanks, Ollie. Mike describes in our episode two, these two frameworks that are developed by Vanguard Advisors Alpha. And they are the three P's, which are planning, proactivity, and positivity. And the second approach is called the three A's, assess, address, and audit. And that might sound a little alphabet soupy, but the alliterative approach is easy to remember and helps advisors really stay organized and deliver the best behavioral coaching possible.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me. So let's get right into it. Roll the tape. And listeners, I hope you enjoy the second episode of the new Vanguard Advisors Alpha podcast.
Welcome to episode two of the podcast. We're here today recording virtually from our homes with Mike DeJoseph, a senior advice strategist with Vanguard. Mike's been doing research on the value of behavioral coaching to advisors for more than 10 years, so he's an expert. Thanks for making time to be with us, Mike.
Thank you so much for having me and Janet.
So Mike, you helped develop these behavioral coaching frameworks, is that right?
That's right. I've had the extraordinary privilege of being involved in this Advisors Alpha work, and particularly the behavioral coaching, for about the last 10 years now.
So I'm sure this framework that you developed is going to be really helpful when advisors are just trying to organize themselves when they want to say, hey, I'm going to increase my behavioral coaching to clients. So let's start with the three P's. The first step on the list is planning. Can you explain what you mean by planning in the behavioral coaching context?
Sure. And so just to take a quick step back, so when we talk about the three P's as the principles of behavioral coaching, and we'll talk a little bit about our other framework, the three A's, I like to think of it, you know, a easy shortcut is the P is for principle and the A is for action. So these are our principles. The three A's we'll talk about are really about more of the process and the actions that you can take. But our first P in the three P's is planning. And this really comes down to, you know, when you talk about the principles of behavioral coaching, a couple things to keep in mind. It's the importance of putting it in writing so you actually have a plan, but to have it in writing and to lay that foundation with the written plan actually gives you something to refer back to when you're acting as a behavioral coach. And, you know, if you really think about it, it gives you something to coach towards. I think to me, a really good advisor and somebody who's really focused on the planning process is someone who's able to talk to their clients and understand the values, right? And so the advisor really becomes the one that's able to help a client or to help a family figure out what their values are. And then they convert those into goals, and then they operationalize those goals into a plan. So if you kind of think about it, it might be clients' values are, we want to give our children a good start in life, or we want to be independent. We want to have more time to spend with our family. Well, the advisor can then turn that into a goal and say, well, what do we need to do to get there? Is it saving a certain amount of money by a certain period of time? Something like that. And then they're able to take it to that next step. And that's the plan, right? And you put it into writing and say, here's exactly how we're going to get to those goals to fulfill those values. And that's what you're able to coach towards when you talk about planning.
So are you suggesting that most advisors don't already have written plans with their clients? I'm a little surprised by that.
So our research has actually shown that, I wouldn't say it's most, but it was over half of clients don't have a written plan across the wealth spectrum. And even when you're looking at ultra high net worth, it's about one in three. And, you know, that may be the client may just not realize that there's a written plan there. But I think an advisor would be really well served to put that plan in writing. Make sure that the client has a copy of it, even if it's something abridged, so that, you know, in a moment like today, they can look back on it and say, hey, look, we prepared for this. This is what we put in writing, and we're going to stick with that unless something else has changed.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so then the next P is proactivity. What does that mean for advisors to proactively coach their clients?
I think that the advisors who have been proactive over the last 10 years are probably having a much easier go of things today when they're stepping in as a behavioral coach. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's, you know, this concept of coaching for tomorrow today. And so let's see if I can get this right without twisting the words, but I would say that today is yesterday's tomorrow. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure. Today is yesterday. Maybe go over that one more time.
So if we say that proactivity means coaching for tomorrow today, right? So that's when times are calm. You know, we look at the last 10 years, not that things were perfectly calm, but the market has been, you know, been up more often than not since the financial crisis of 2008, 2009. And it's just talking to your clients about, hey, every year is not going to be up. I mean, you look back 2019, right. The market was up almost 30%. And so just setting reasonable expectations with the clients of saying, hey, if you're an aggressive investor, or even if you're you have any equity exposure at all, there's a possibility that the equity markets could go down significantly in any given year, and they could go down for a period of time. And so just having that conversation up front when the times are good and when the times are calm makes it a lot easier. And so that's what we mean by coach for tomorrow, today.
I see. Okay.
And then if you fast forward to today, right, today is 2019's tomorrow.
Okay. I think that makes sense to me now. So the next step after advisors have set these realistic expectations or preparing their clients for the future is positivity. What role does that play? How can advisors show that to their clients? Why is it important?
Well, I think positivity is an underrated one. I think it's really important. And the way I'll answer this is to say, let me tell you what positivity does not mean first. And that does not mean that the advisor tells their client, you know, there's nothing bad going on. You know, the markets are completely fine. I mean, everything's not always going to be fine. But what positivity really does mean is that even when things out there, when the market, when the economy, when we're in the middle of a really scary health crisis, even when these things are going on, you, the client, are prepared for them because of the work that we've done up front, right? You look back at the planning, you look back at the proactivity. Well, it's just having that empathy and understanding that it's okay to be scared today. It's okay to want to, you know, sell out of the equity market when things are looking really bad and when you maybe don't know what the economy is going to look like going forward. So the positivity is really about understanding that your words matter and acknowledging that, hey, we're all human. We're all feeling this too. Just because I may be a financial advisor and you're a client, it doesn't mean that I'm not concerned about what's going on. Being honest about that and just being empathetic that, you know, it's okay to feel that way. We're prepared for it. And then finally, too, Vanguard research has showed that one of the major underlying needs of why people seek advice is they want to feel empowered. And if we actually think about what that means that clients want to feel like they've taken charge of their financial future. They want to feel like they have complete control over their financial decisions, and that they're on track to meet their goals, and that they're still on track to have that financial freedom. And I think it's really profound that, you know, a client is willing to pay an advisor some percentage of their assets every year in order to feel like they're the ones in control. So they're almost outsourcing this control. And to me, that's the definition of empowerment. And so positivity is really just about this concept of empowerment and making sure that you're speaking to your clients with empathy, making them feel empowered that they're going to be able to meet their goals because of the work that you've done together.
I can see how that'd be pretty powerful for clients. So the three P's, that was planning, proactivity, and positivity. And the next framework were the three A's, which were assess, address, and audit. And that's another way that advisors can deepen their client relationships. So can you talk a little bit about the first item, assess? What does that mean for advisors? What should they do?
Absolutely. Thanks, Janet. And so if you think about it, right, we have our principles, our planning, our proactivity, our positivity. And these are kind of evergreen in the sense that these things apply all the time. So when we start talking about the process of behavioral coaching, we're really saying, okay, we've done the work up front. We've applied those principles over time. And those principles still apply, even what we're talking about here within the process. But this is really, okay, rubber meets the road. Now is the time to do something. And it's just some thoughts that we've developed around how can we help advisors really kind of organize their own mind, organize their process, and just kind of think through how am I going to actually be the behavioral coach? And so the first one is assess. And so this is really just about getting smart on the situation and the implications it might have for your clients. So what do we mean by that? Well, if you break it down, it's a seeking historical perspective and maybe, some forecasts of what may happen. So looking for your trusted partners, a firm like Vanguard, for example, that's producing economic research and market research and, you know, looking for those trusted partners where you can say, this is what's happened in the past when the market's gone down. This is how long it's taken to break even. This is what we think that implications might be for the economy, et cetera. So really just educating yourself as the advisor so that you have the confidence to speak with an informed perspective. And then the second part of assessing, you know, beyond what's going on with the situation that's necessitating this coaching is determining if and how your clients might be affected. And I like to think of that in two different ways. And there's the obvious one, the emotional, right? We're in a health crisis here and it's very visceral. And so clients are likely affected emotionally in the sense that they're worried about what does this mean for themselves? What does this mean for their health of their family and themselves and their friends and other loved ones? But also, what does it mean kind of practically for the client as well? So is their plan under pressure? Are their goals still in reach, et cetera? So it's really about, again, seeking the historical perspective to have the confidence that you as the advisor have the informed perspective and then determining how your clients are affected and starting to think about putting into place a plan on how you're going to move to that next step.
Okay. And so then I'm guessing the next A is address. It's going to have to do with addressing the plan that you put in place when you assess. Am I right about that?
That is right. You know, this may sound kind of obvious, right? We're thinking about what's going on and then we're going to act and address. And I think in a sense, it is a pretty obvious framework. There's nothing, you know, earth shattering here, but I do think it helps to just have a little more organization around it.
And it's easier to remember.
Right. And so when we think about addressing the situation, it's acting with empathy when coaching or making desired changes or needed changes to the plan. And so similarly here, I kind of break it down into two different subcategories, if you will. And the first one is to leverage the trust that you've earned over time with your clients. So all these years that you've done your planning, your proactivity and the conversations that you've had, you've built up some level of trust. So now's the time when you really cash that in. So you leverage that trust to act with care, to act as a behavioral coach. And you have clients come in who are scared, for example, you acknowledge that, you diffuse that, and then you back it up with the informed perspective to kind of reinforce that empathetic understanding. And that sets the stage for you to act as a coach, to get your clients to stay the course, if you will. The second subcategory in there would be really around this concept that staying the course doesn't mean standing still. What do I mean by that? I'm sure you've heard Vanguard say for years, going all the way back to, you know, the founder of our company, Jack Bogle, who always just said, stay the course, stay the course. Well, that does not mean don't do anything. That doesn't mean don't log into your account. It doesn't mean if you're an advisor that you just tell your clients everything's fine, we're going to do nothing, I'll talk to you next year. Really good advisor is one who's looking for opportunities out of this, the silver lining, if you will. And so there's the obvious things like the rebalancing. So if the stock market's down and bonds have done their job to act as ballast in the portfolio against that equity downturn, well, then, you know, now may be a good opportunity to rebalance back to that asset allocation that you had set out. Something maybe not as obvious, but tax loss harvesting, which means you may have losses in the portfolio from positions that are now worth less than what you paid for them. And so figuring out, can I sell them and use those losses to offset gains elsewhere to help improve the tax efficiency of the portfolio. So just thinking through what are the silver linings of today to basically look for opportunities to put the portfolio and the plan in better position going forward than maybe even coming into the crisis. You know, in some sense, kind of tough to think about it that way, that there's an opportunity here, but that is the reality that with this crisis does come that silver lining.
Yeah. And let me just clarify one thing about the difference between assess and address. Assess, I think from what you were saying, that's something that advisors are doing on their own to educate themselves and figure out what they're going to do. And then address is when they go to the clients. Do I have that right?
I think that's a really good distinction. Yep.
Okay. And so then the third on the list we finally arrived is audit. Now, what does that mean in the context of the advisor-client relationship?
So audit, I think, is the one that's maybe not as obvious. The assess and the address are kind of obvious. The audit, though, is really just keeping track of what's happening today and then looking back when the dust settles and figuring out what did I do? What were the decisions that I made? Or I should say the decisions that we made, meaning the client and the advisor together, what was the outcome of them? Maybe what are the things that I wish I had done better as the advisor? And just kind of learning from them, having this feedback loop to implement those learnings in the future. And so in that first point, you know, it'll really give the advisor an opportunity to articulate their value in the future. So behavioral coaching is one of those things that, you know, we and others in the industry have spent a ton of time thinking through. How do you quantify this? How do you really put a number on it? How do you think about it? And it's tough because sometimes the behavioral coaching opportunities can be episodic. It might be once every 10 years. It might be there's little opportunities here and there, but the big ones come in these crises. And so, you know, a simple example is just thinking through, maybe you had a client back in early March or mid-March when the market was looking really bad relative to where we are today in May. And maybe that client wanted to bail out of the market and move into cash, or maybe sell some of their stocks and move into bonds, when the reality is they probably should be rebalancing and doing the opposite. And if you, as the advisor, are able to leverage that positivity, you know, leverage the proactive planning that you've done, act with care after you've addressed the situation, kind of tying all these things together to actually drive a better outcome, which is getting your client to stay the course in the sense that they're sticking with the plan, finding those opportunities to add even more value. At some point in the future, you can look back and say, hey, we had these conversations together. We put in the work up front. And again, I'll emphasize that framing of we, meaning, you know, the advisor and the clients and the client's family, you're kind of in the trenches together in the moment today. And you look back and you have this really positive story to talk about. Here's the value that I added as the advisor. Here's the value that we added, you know, as a response to this crisis. And then even from the advisor's own perspective about their practice, what did I learn today? You know, we're talking a lot about the importance of virtual meetings and virtual interaction, just keeping track of the things that you're learning in that virtual world today and applying them in the future, and just figuring out, how can I learn from the decisions that we made and the decisions that we maybe didn't make today?
Okay, well, that seems like a great place to end. Mike, thanks so much for joining us for this Vanguard Advisors Alpha podcast. I think the way you broke down the principles of behavioral coaching into those two relatively simple frameworks, the three A's and the three P's, should really help listeners boost the effectiveness of the coaching they give their clients and hopefully highlight their value as advisors too. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Janet.
Well, that was definitely interesting, Janet. A lot of good tips there, a lot of actionable suggestions and recommendations. That was episode 2 of a 5-part series. That means episode 3 is coming up. What's on the menu?
Well, next time, Mike talks about how advisors can help their clients through downturns. So that's advice that everybody needs in this environment. So not only how to coach them to stay focused on their goals, but also with specific suggestions of actions advisors can take to help their clients come through the downturn in as positive a position as possible.
Oh, that's perfect. Like, that's where the rubber meets the road. So episode 3 sounds like something to look forward to. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Vanguard Advisors Alpha podcast.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Be aware that fluctuations in the financial markets and other factors may cause declines in the value of your account. There is no guarantee that any particular asset allocation or mix of funds will meet your investment objectives or provide you with a given level of income. Investments in bonds are subject to interest rate, credit, and inflation risk. Tax loss harvesting involves certain risks, including, among others, the risk that the new investment could have higher costs than the original investment and could introduce portfolio tracking error into your accounts. There may also be unintended tax implications. We recommend that you carefully review the terms of the consent and consult a tax advisor before taking action. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Vanguard's written permission. Copyright 2020, The Vanguard Group, Incorporated, all rights reserved.